We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My Music takes the air. Opportunity for you to take the air, unless, of course, you want to spend the next half hour in the company of our twos. Our first two, John Amis and Frank Muir. Our second two, Ian Wallace. And standing in for the indisposed, Dennis Norden, Barry Took. John, start us off, if you please. Who was sitting on your left when you first heard this music? I think I've got you for once.
British Railways?
No. Wasn't very far from Hungerford Bridge in Charing Cross, I'll say that.
Wait a minute, all those... A lot of chaps shouting, isn't it?
Yes, six chaps shouting.
Ah, well, that is a bit of a giveaway. It is the King Singer.
Yes. Who was sitting on your left when you first heard that music?
You were.
Yes, that's right. Right, the occasion, please.
Yes, that's right. It was their 100th anniversary.
Well, 10th.
10th anniversary.
Yes, I was sitting next to you at the Royal Festival Hall at the King Singer's 10th anniversary concert in May 1978. That music by Stanley Glasser, that suite he wrote for them. Frank, can you identify not the composition but the band playing this? Orchestra.
It's very early, isn't it?
Yes, 1927 or so, thereabouts. Mm.
Ellington?
Yes. Duke Ellington.
I must say, it was a totally wild guess.
Mm. Well, the sort of wah-wah mutes and so on.
The musicality of it.
Yes, that's right, exactly. Ian, I'm going to play you exactly the same bit of the same record, and then if you can spot where this tune originally came from. It's only a minor question, I grant you, but there's a very major answer. Have you twigged it?
Yeah, I think I get it from the first couple of bars, because it sounds like Jerusalem.
Yes.
Jerusalem.
Yes. It's the holy city in the minor.
In the minor key. Mm.
And it's called Black and Tan Fantasy when it's on a Duke Ellington record. Larry? Sorry, can I give you a nasty turn?
My stomach went over.
I was only going to say it's nice to have you with us, that's all.
Well, thank you.
Still on the subject of jazz, can you identify this violinist?
If I tell you the names of the four jazz violinists I know, would you nod when I come to the right one?
It's four times as many as most people know. Right. Okay.
Well, yeah. Stefan Grappelli, no nod. Stuff Smith, and that's not a... I'm not being rude. Man's name, no. Ray Nance.
Mm-hmm. You've got to be right next time.
Well, I'm going to be the big winner. Joe Venuti.
Yeah, Joe Venuti. Nod. Yes,
Joe Venuti. Joe Venuti. Don't hesitate if you wish to applaud. Yeah.
You were really doing it in the Miss World order.
Yes, in reverse order. I don't know why. I've always been fascinated by jazz violin, and there's very few. And Stefan Grappelli and Django Reinhardt, the Hot Club de France, yes, those are wonderful.
Yes.
And he... played with Eddie Lang, didn't he, the guitar player?
Jovanuti did, yes. And the great bass sax player was on lots of those records, Adrian Rollini was the man there. Jovanuti was a lovely man, he was a joker. It was Jovanuti, you know, who... his great pal was Winnie Minogue, the one-armed trumpet player, and for Christmas one year, Jovanuti sent him a cufflink. The same Jovanuti called music critics empty suits.
Please, it's a bit terrific. I must say, though, you say that I think you invented one of the funniest jazz creations. I'm sure it was you invented many years ago. One Lip Lundigan, the trumpet player. Is that you?
I did. Yes.
When you used to write for the Melody Maker.
Yes. One Lip,
the great trumpet, jazz trumpet player, not heard of much these days. One Lip Lundigan. That was a marvellous conceit.
I hadn't thought of him myself in 20 years or something.
No, I thought it was terrifically fun.
Talking about critics being empty suits, that marvellous story about the other one that you mentioned, Stefan Grappelli, when he was asked to play at some great function of nudists. And he had decided that he would fall in with the whole thing, and came onto the platform to play stark naked, to find that the audience had all dressed.
I won't tell you about Stuff Smith, because...
In this next round, I don't want to know what the music is called. I know that already. What I want to know, please, is how many performers are involved. Right, John, how many performers here?
That I once took part in a performance of that piece conducted by Michael Tippett. It's the 40-part motet by Thomas Tallis. Marvellous piece.
In Alim. Or in that performance, 39 and John Amos. No, you're right. Spem in Alium for 40 voices.
You never get ill, do you,
Tallis?
Steve Ray?
No, I don't. I daren't. I daren't.
So easy, these rounds, aren't they, Barry?
Oh, wonderful. It's like Frank. A home away from home.
Frank, your turn. How many performers in this song?
14. And should no breeze with a bunch of trees.
Swinging the axes.
Yeah, it's... is that lovely? One of the first, wasn't it, film musicals, especially written for the films.
Oh, especially written. That's
so. Anyway, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Yes, they were the Seven
I didn't
brothers.
Hear any brides. No. So, at a rough guess...
we'll have the
or
brothers.
Is it a trick?
No. Not as far
seven?
Back. Yes,
seven. Yes.
Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, yeah. Ian, how many singers here?
You're very kind to give a Scotsman a Scottish opera.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes.
Lucy of Lammermoor, or yes, Lucia sir. Di Lammermoor. And they usually try and raise six people for that.
For the sextet.
Sounds better.
Sounds like they were singing through a suet pudding.
Yes, there was some rather going on there.
Good thing I didn't ask you to write down the words as you heard them. That would be a test.
I'm afraid it would have been a blank sheet of paper handed into the examiner.
Barry, not an easy one, but I think you can work it out. How many singers only, here?
Going to Chicago. Sorry, but I can't take you. Going back to my town. Going to Chicago. sorry, but I can't take you.
Well, we've had 40.
And we've had 7.
And we've had 6.
And we've had 6.
Sounds of it's coming down.
It does, a bit, doesn't it?
Beyond that, I can't help you.
It's more than one.
It's more than one and less than 6.
Yeah.
Would 4 be...
4 will get you a mark, yes.
would 4 be the answer?
Yes, yes, that's right.
I thought
did,
it might.
Do you recognise any of them? Do you recognise anybody there?
Sammy Davis Jr.
No. Joe Williams with Lambert Hendricks and Ross. They're the other three
voices.
Oh, really?
Voices
with the Count Basie.
Well, Annie Austin. Ross and...
Going to Chicago, yes.
Oh,
Chicago.
Really? I'm nice.
Yeah.
Smashing girl.
Now, I wonder what each of you would choose as being the most beautiful sound in all music. It's quite serious. A particular singer, an instrument, a passage from a score, a record... It's a heck of a thing to ask, but I thought we'd find out. John, the most beautiful sound, just off the top of your head, the most beautiful sound in all music. Yes.
Well, I think the string quartet is the most beautiful sound that I know, but on the other hand, there's one other thing which I find very, very beautiful when one has the luck to hear it. When a piece ends quietly in a concert and there is a moment of silence... usually before some idiot comes in and wrecks it by applauding. And I think that is a very, very beautiful moment. Yes. Also, in certain works, when there is silence in the middle of a piece, Mozart Adagio, that silence, I think, is very wonderful.
You've started us off beautifully, I think.
Yeah.
Frank, the most beautiful sound in all music.
Really, it's an impossible question, isn't it? But asked in the best possible way.
Yeah.
The music which has given me more pleasure, I think, in my life was the Wedding March. because it was... When I finally got married and all that engagement, dreadful rubbish, is it or is it on or isn't it off, was over. And all the wedding ceremony was over. And one marched up. 31 years ago, one marched up the aisle. Yeah. And that was the most beautiful sound, I think.
Yes. Ian, the most beautiful sound in music?
As Frank said, it is a very difficult question to answer, and I suspect that every single person that one would ask would have a different idea and might violently disagree with other people's point of view. I think because the most beautiful things in music can suddenly emerge... because of a particular performance, and as Frank has just said, a particular occasion, one can suddenly be hit in the midriff with something that perhaps one hadn't even noticed before. I remember many years ago singing in the opera La Boheme and suddenly realizing in a performance something that I hadn't realized before. In the last act, when... Mimi is dying and she sings about, she says in English, there are so many things I have to tell you, she says to Rudolph beside the bed. And then, and all that she describes, some of these things that she wants to tell him about. And then she dies and the orchestra plays a reprise of this, so many things there are I have to tell you, and you know now that she's never going to tell him. And although I was in this performance, I found myself with the tears rolling down my face, not at the acting, but at this marvellous thing that the producer had done. Some people would call it terribly corny, but for me at that moment it was very beautiful.
Mm. Marvellous man. Yeah. Barry, most beautiful sound.
Well, everybody said talked about the difficulty of it, but I have a particular liking for Purcell. Not all of Purcell, some of it is tedious, I think, but some of the songs are beautiful. And there's one that I first came across in the Beggar's Opera called, I think, A Virgin's A Fair Flower, something like that. And then I came across, by chance, listening to Radio 3 when I was in hospital, and it's called What Shall I Do? What shall I do? You know how it goes. And it's from an opera called The Diocletian. And that's what I would say for me was the most beautiful. It's got a very pure... What shall I do to show her I love her?
Mm. I thought it might be an idea from the end of this, having warning, of course, since I make up these questions, if I found a bit of a record, which I, you know, an actual performance, which is available to all, which I think I would class as the most beautiful moments of sound in all music. I wonder if you'll guess what it is. Anyway, this is the one I chose. Allegri. It's a recording by the Choir of King's College, Cambridge, under Sir David Wilcox. I think that's one of the loveliest sounds one could ever wish to hear. Well, now, on my piano here, I'm going to play some introductions. If my guess is correct, this first one will mean different things to John and Frank. Anyway, we shall see. So, John, you first. What is this?
Leonora?
Yes.
Overture? Beethoven.
By Beethoven, yes.
I'm not going to commit myself to a number because it's in all
of
them.
Fair.
If I say two, you say three. If I say one, you say two.
No, it doesn't matter. Frank, what did you recognize it? And if so, what did you think it was? Shall I play it for you again?
The same. It sounded rather sort of Western American.
Well, really? That's interesting. Here, not quite Western, but this is where you've also heard it. Listen.
I used to dream that I would discover...
An old Helen Morgan recording, yes. It's the actual written introduction of Bill.
Just
Long
like
Cain Bill.
Bill,
yeah. Lyrics Jerome Kern wrote it in 1927, and I've no idea why he used that Beethoven phrase, except that, of course, that was Beethoven's centenary year, John, wasn't it? Just the little bit of fun Jerome Kern had.
Mm. P.G. Woodhouse wrote the lyrics.
The lyrics, yes, that's right. Ian, over to you. To what is this the introduction?
They're playing Frank's song.
Yes.
And when I finally got married... Yes. And I've got to be very careful what I say because my wife is in the audience. We marched up the aisle.
I wanted the opportunity to tell you that I had a letter from Mrs. Philip Miles of Bournemouth, whose husband was a noted organist. In the vestry after their marriage, she was just preparing to march out into the body of the church, and that music was just beginning. When her husband heard that introduction with it, you know, the triple dum, da da dum, da da dum, da da dum, he called out to her in a loud voice that everybody in the church could hear, "Don't forget, dear, wait for the triplets." She then marched out into the aisle. Barry, we're still doing these introductions. What can you remember? What follows this introduction?
Happy birthday, dear Stephen. Happy birthday to you.
No, it's a rhythm piece, instrumental from the war years. And it goes on.
I'm sorry, I'm stumped. Oh, goodness me. Now what is it?
Ray Noble's Cherokee.
Oh, Cherokee, yes.
Cherokee.
I'm sorry, I should have known that, shouldn't I?
No, I didn't, and I thought you made a brave try.
All right. Another That's kind, is we've only known each other half an hour.
We all remember the stars of the great musicals, but it's not so easy to remember the names of the characters that they played. I've been looking at a book of Broadway photographs and the captions underneath the pictures. So, John, below the picture, the caption reads, "Freddie Eynsford Hill with Mrs. Higgins at the races." What show would that be?
Freddie?
Eynsford Hill.
Oh, Piggers.
Yes, or...
Pygmalion. Yeah, my Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady, that's right. Frank, the caption under yours reads, Sky with Big Julie and Nathan Detroit.
Guys and dolls.
Thank you. Yes, won't take long, this one. Ian, again, I quote from a photo caption, Fred Graham gives vent to his feelings towards his leading lady, Lily Vanessi, during a performance.
Ah. Kiss me, Kate.
That's right. Barry, do you ever think about Barbara Streisand, Barry?
Not lately, thank you.
Well, that's a hint for you. Quote,
oh.
Dr. Mark Bruckner tries to cure Daisy Gamble of the smoking habit.
Well, as it's obviously the answer is a musical, and as I know she's... The only two musicals I know that she's been in, was one was called Funny Girl and the other one wasn't. I'm going to go for Funny Girl.
I'll tell you in four notes you're wrong.
On a clear day.
Yes.
You can see.
Came from On a Clear Day. Yeah.
Well, you see, I said I only knew two, yeah. And that wasn't the other one. The other one was Hello, Dolly. It would have been even worse if I'd said Hello, Dolly.
We come to the last round, the party pieces. Schumann starts us off from the last round this week, but he doesn't persist right through the four songs. There you go. John, your party piece, Im Wunderschönen, from Schumann's Dichterliebe. In the lovely month of May, love unfolded in my heart. It's absolutely lovely, this. Shall we do our best, shall we?
All yours.
Just let me get my little bit of music in order. Here we are.
Without rehearsal.
No,
right?
Absolutely without rehearsal. Im Wunderschönen from Schumann's Dichterliebe, for those who'd like to get a record of it. Beautiful.
The trout.
No, you won't have the trout. You'll
the
have something.
Trout's off.
Well, no, trout's off. Salad days is on.
Yeah.
Yes. We said we'd never look back, right?
If I start looking behind me and begin retracing my track, I'll remind you to remind me we said we wouldn't look back. And if you should happen to find me with an outlook dreary and black, I'll remind you to remind me we said we'd never look back.
That's enough, I think. Barry, your turn. I know that you, like Frank, have a taste for the old music hall songs, Edwardian and even earlier. Can you remember one that mentions Grace Darling?
Yes, I can.
A topical song about Grace Darling.
Well, it's they're fascinating songs at that time because they sort of illustrated people's attitudes to each other when, in that time before they walked up the aisle. He calls me his own Grace Darling. He says that I'm his pet. I fill each place within his soul. There ain't no cod, you bet. Now I asked him if he loved me. I said, what oh, not ah. I love you just for your whiskers, cause they tickles me and makes me laugh. And there it is, in its entirety.
Sure. Ian, a request from Pat someone, I can't read the second name, for the Lewis Bridal song. unaccompanied, I think.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the wedding march.
No.
Well, not that fact, no.
Could you sort of give me something round about a key of G?
Yes.
Step we gaily, on we go, heel for heel and toe for toe, arm in arm and row, all for Mary's wedding. All the hill winds up and down, myrtle green and brack and brown, all the shillings to the town, all for sake of Mary. Step we gaily, on we go, heel for heel and toe for toe, arm in arm and row, all for Mary's wedding. Step we gaily on we go, heel for heel and toe for toe, arm in arm and row, all for Mary's wedding. Makes you want to order a double portion of Sporran, doesn't it? Lovely. Lewis, the bridal song. Well, that's all we have. Another programme ends in a song from Ian. A victory. By one marks it happens. A victory for John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Barry Took and Ian Wallace. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the programme was produced by Tony Schreiner.